there's a good chance you commute to work in the morning, driving maybe across town or maybe to another community. And of course, you see other cars and buses and bikes as thousands and thousands of other people make that same ride to work.
Our next guest took your daily commute and everyone else's and put them together to look at the big picture. She mapped out the ways that commuting connects communities in Wisconsin to one another, from rural areas to the state's biggest cities.
Malia Jones is an assistant scientist and social epidemiologist at UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory. Her report on commuting in Wisconsin is at wiscontext.org. It looks cool. You should check it out. Malia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what led you to tackle this issue of who's going from where and to where?
So I'm interested in a couple of things. My research actually looks at the way that people use space and select different spaces in their lives and how those spaces affect their health. And so I'm really interested in disparities between urban places and rural places, as well as people who cross those boundaries and sort of see them as more continuous, and how that affects the resources that are important for health.
And you weren't mapping, you know, who's going from Appleton to Oshkosh. You divided us up in Wisconsin by the type of community we're in. Can you talk about the different types of communities that you're charting out here?
Yeah. So in this case, we used a classification of urban and rural that has 7 levels. In a previous report, we looked at lots of different urban-rural classification systems and how they play out in Wisconsin. And in this case, we used one called the Rural-Urban Commuting Areas, RUCAs. And these are census tract, or what you might think of as neighborhood level classifications. So every place in every census tract in Wisconsin is assigned to one of these 7 categories. And they are major urban core, small urban core, small town, and then suburbs of major urban, suburbs of small urban, and then rural and isolated rural.
So a lot of different categories here, and we've talked in the past about how hard it can be to define something like rural, but you went with some good working definitions. And then my question before we get into what you found is, how do we know who's driving where? Where do you go for data like this?
Yeah, so this data, it's actually collected by the U.S. Census Bureau, and it's in a data program. There's actually a really cool interactive version of these data that you can play with on the Census Bureau website, and they're called the LODES data, L-O-D-E-S. And so the census asks questions about where people live as well as where they commute to, and we know something from the census about employers, and so that's where they come from.
And so let's start looking at what you found. You were looking at, you know, are there some areas where people stay in the same kind of community? Are there some where they go to different types? What struck you as you started to pull this together?
One of the things that really struck us was that a huge majority, about 50% of all the working people in Wisconsin, are commuting within major urban areas or major metros. And so they both live in a major metro and work in a major metro.
And what counts as a major metro in Wisconsin? I mean, obviously Milwaukee, and then I don't know where to draw the line after that.
Yeah. There are a lot of ways to classify it. And in this case, they're fairly large communities, like obviously Milwaukee, but also Madison, Green Bay, La Crosse. Big cities.
Mm-hmm. And then like, do the Fox cities count as one? Or are they in the next tier?
Yes, I guess? They are.
Okay. And so half of us, our commute is completely within or from a major metro to that same major metro or another one.
Right. It would typically be the same major metro, but it would fall in the same category if you were commuting from one major metro to another one as well.
And then let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum for a minute, that the isolated rural, I think. Where are we commuting if we're starting there?
Yeah. So I think the other major trend that we saw is that actually not only are most people within major metros commuting to major metros, but lots of people from all these other places are also commuting to major metro areas. And so in isolated rural areas, for example, 37% of all commuters go to a major metro to work.
And actually, it may be more than that, because you're looking entirely within Wisconsin, and I think I read that it doesn't include people who might commute, say, to Chicago or the Twin Cities, people on those edges of the state.
That is correct. In this analysis, we cut off everybody who commutes outside the state. So yes, if you live in an isolated rural place near Minneapolis and commute to Minneapolis, then that is not represented here.
Let's look at this now. This is something that's big, and it seems like, to quote Close Encounters, this means something. What does it mean to you as someone who studies space and how people organize their lives?
So I think there's been a lot of talk recently about this idea of the urban-rural divide and the two Wisconsins and so forth. And in my view, those discussions are really kind of overly simplistic. The truth is that most of us have some engagement with places other than the place where we live. And when people are commuting from a rural place to an urban place every day, they form social ties and economic ties across both of those places and places in between. And so I think it's really important to consider the kind of web of connectedness that this kind of daily travel creates.
And that makes me think, actually, it makes me think of something you wrote. When people talk about food deserts and grocery deserts, you think of big cities, but also small towns. This may be one way people are navigating that. I'm not shopping at home. I'm shopping after work in the larger urban area that I work in.
Right. So in that previous report, we talked about one of the definitions of very rural places is called frontier and remote. And one of the things we see happening in remote areas, for example, the northern tier counties in Wisconsin, is there's not a lot of good access to fresh foods and healthy foods in full service grocery stores. And so one way that people do deal with that is if they commute to a more populous area for work, then they grocery shop near their work and not near their home. And one thing that we need to consider when we think about food deserts is, well, which people are most vulnerable to the food desert? It's really the ones that don't have the opportunity to shop somewhere else.
We're talking to Malia Jones with the UW-Madison Applied Population Laboratory, looking at her report on how we commute in Wisconsin, how we cross lines between different types of communities and what it means. And there's a chart at wiscontext.org that I encourage you to check out. It's interactive. And let's, before we get back into the findings, tell us about this chart, because I haven't seen anything like this before. What can we do when we check out this circle thing with all these connections on it and colors?
Yeah, so you can, so it's, it's shaped like a circle, and each of these seven classifications of areas is represented around the perimeter of that circle. And then as you roll your mouse over, these cords come up, and they tell you the from commuting flow and the to commuting flow for every combination of all of these seven different places. So, for example, you can see the proportion of people who are commuting from a small town to a major metro area and from a major metro area to a small town. And it also is just a really beautiful interactive chart that one of my colleagues at the Applied Population Lab, Caitlin McCown, made, and it's called a cord diagram.
And you can see in this chart by hovering over the different things, maybe not a surprise, a lot of people might commute out of those rural areas. We see a lot less people commuting into them for work. I guess no surprise there. That tends to not be where the jobs are.
Yeah, that's correct. This is really, I mean, in some ways, the ideas here are endogenous to the study. I mean, we classified the places based on their urban-rural commuting area classification, which implies we're already thinking about commuting when we divided them up. But yes, it's about where the jobs are located, how far people have to travel to get to work, and what kinds of communities they're traveling in between.
It's amazing to think of all the individual stories that go into this, because I've met people around the state, you know, an electrician who's based in a small town who can maybe get a job in the Twin Cities or Milwaukee, you know, a couple hours drive, but this is central and cheap, or a couple who might live halfway between Madison and Milwaukee because they each have a job in different places. And just thinking about how all those individual family decisions play into this huge map of how the state connects.
I think that's what's really neat about it, is thinking about, so the average commute time in Wisconsin is 22 minutes, but there's tremendous variation there. And of course, that the variation is going to be related to rurality. You know, people who live in rural places travel longer distances generally to get to work and all kinds of things. And yeah, you can see this. One of the other big trends that we saw here is sort of an obvious trend of commuter flows that come from suburbs and go into major cities. So the major urban suburb to the major urban city, which is sort of a classic sociology phenomenon.
I've heard anecdotally about places like Chicago where you start to see the flow going in the other way a lot of times, people living downtown moving out to the suburbs. How much of that do we see as we look at Wisconsin?
So there is very little commuting from major urban cores into the suburbs of major major urban cores. One of the things that surprised me here is there's actually the biggest proportion of people who stay put besides the major urban are small town and small urban cores. So there seem to be a lot of people who live in smaller places and also work in those smaller urban places.
So that means I might live in a small town and either work in my town or the next town over, say.
Right, right, exactly.
So what can we start, apart from playing with the chart, which is in and of itself worth it, but what can we start to do with this kind of data and visualizing it?
So one of the things that I'm trying to do with it is try to figure out what people's access to healthcare might be, given that they, you know, similar to grocery stores, some people who work and commute in a larger city than the place where they live, they might have access to a doctor or a specialist near their work. And so when we look at the landscape, the geography of healthcare in Wisconsin and how that's changing over time, it's important to think about, well, are people going to doctors that are not close to their homes, which is how we typically think about these geographies of access, but close to their work. And then as Wisconsin's population ages, what is going to happen to those people who retire and then no longer have that work-based access anymore?
Right, because this is about people who are commuting, and a lot of people are going to age out of your chart here and retire in a place. So then
Yes. That's
another way to think about the services and access to those, food, health, as you were saying, that we need to think
right,
about.
Right. So it's this idea that some people are much more vulnerable to limited services in rural places because they don't travel or they don't have a regular opportunity to go to a more major metro or a small town where they might have some of those services. You know, grocery stores and healthcare are two examples, but there are plenty of other examples like emergency services, access to auto repair, mm-hmm. for example. So there are lots of examples.
Interesting. Malia, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Malia Jones, assistant scientist and social epidemiologist at UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory. You can find a report about commuting and this cool graphic at wiscontext.org. We also have a link up now on the Central Time Facebook page.